Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today, we continue the path of the last few weeks in reading call narratives. And this week, we have the great call narrative of Isaiah from the Hebrew Bible and the story of Peter's call in the New Testament. They are two very different stories because the story in Isaiah involves this grand vision. And Isaiah sees God in the temple and sees seraphim, and it is a really impressive and amazing experience. Luke tells a completely different story. And Peter has an encounter with God too. And it's God and Jesus. But there isn't anything about lightning, fire, and seraphim, or coals being brought to one's lips to purify. Instead, Peter is just a normal guy. Now, I don't know that anybody here has ever been a fisherman, professionally at any time, but we still have a house in Massachusetts on Cape Ann, and we'd occasionally go to Gloucester to get something to eat or to buy some fish from one of the fish brokers. And there were lots of boats tied up on shore, and you may have seen images of Gloucester if you've ever seen The Perfect Storm. These boats were not yachts, they weren't cruise boats, these were working boats. And the people who worked on those boats, the people who owned them, were fully committed to what they were doing, and it was hard work. When you're a fisherman, you go out regardless of what the weather is. When you're a fisherman, you go out regardless of how tired you are. You go out, you find your fish, and you bring it back in, and you can sell it and make some money. So it's a big deal that Peter, who is now excited, is willing to drop everything and listen to this itinerant preacher who's come up to his boat, he's got in, and he's willing to take him out. He's giving up time to work. Now, we don't know why Peter did this. Peter may well have heard of Jesus' reputation after the miracle in Capernaum. Or maybe he heard about his preaching in his hometown synagogue. Maybe he was just impressed with the person who came up to him. We don't know. There's no indication that there was any money changing hands here. Simon clearly was impressed with Jesus, and so he was willing to take him out offshore so he could preach. Now, the sermon title today is Hook, Line, and Sinker, and you may know that I often use cliches or sayings or verbal imagery that ties into fishing when we have passages like this. I was a little bit torn about using this title because while it just seemed like an obvious one, when I hear the phrase, someone's gone for something, hook, line, and sinker, I tend to think there's some kind of chicanery going on. If you want to indulge stereotypes, bad stereotypes of salespeople, this line comes to mind. You can imagine the huckster who is really pleased that he or she has been able to pull a fast one over the prospect, and he gets them to buy into whatever he or she is selling, hook, line, and sinker. That's not Jesus. Jesus is not the music man who's bringing trouble to River City. Jesus is not a congenial con man. Jesus is the Son of God, and he believes in what he is bringing to people. And this day, he is bringing something life-changing to Simon. And to use the more traditional language, Jesus tells Simon that he is no longer going to be a fisherman, but he will be a fisher of men. Now, Peter goes along with this, and he's seen Jesus perform the miracle of helping him catch the fish when there appears to be nothing to catch. And we don't know how to explain that. It could have been that Jesus somehow was able to look at the water and figure out where the school of fish were, or he conjured up the fish. We don't know. All we do know is that there was a tremendous catch that day, and there were so many fish that the boat was about to sink. And Peter, rather than just saying, okay, this has been a great day, I could take some time off and go live on Easy Street, instead confesses to Jesus that he is a sinner and that he is not worthy to be with him. Now, you can hear echoes of Isaiah here, who talks of the unclean lips he has. And you can think of other characters in the Bible, like Moses, who was a fugitive from the law. God works through us. God doesn't use the standards that we might use in the secular world. God's not looking for the fastest or the smartest. He's not looking for the people with all sorts of credentials. He's looking for people with good hearts. And Jesus has found them here. Now, I've been talking about annual meeting a bit over the last few weeks, and we're going to have it next week. But this is a passage that is very appropriate for annual meeting. Calling up many of you, and I'm really impressed with the response we've gotten to the invitations to serve the church. And I appreciate those of you who have accepted. And this is also for those of you who are not being nominated to an office or to serve on a committee this year. Because you all have things to contribute to this church. You are all going to go out and become fishers of people, each and every one of you. And whether you're going to be on a committee that's focused on membership recruitment, or the choir that's going to sing during worship, or any of the other committees that I could name for you right now, you have fishing work to do here in church. And that's really important, because the church has something to offer that people need. Now, you might be cynical, and you might think, well, how did this story work out for Peter? Do you all know how Peter's life ended? Peter dies in Acts. He's crucified, but he's given up everything to continue to be a disciple for Jesus Christ. Think about that. Have you ever been so passionate about something that you were willing to give up things that were important to you? That's what we're being asked to do as we are being called to serve Jesus. We can give up our jobs. We can give up our hopes and dreams that we may have had for a particular line of work we wanted to do. We don't need to invest all of our money in electronics or going to concerts or sporting events. The Christian life is beautiful, and it can fill us with meaning and hope. And the fact that you're all here on this morning when the temperature was in the low single digits says something to me that you've found some value here in the church. You're willing to come out even when it's bitterly cold. And I say thank you. And for those of you who are watching on Zoom, I say thank you for taking out the time to be with us today. So, I want each and every one of you to think about Simon Peter. Simon, who starts off as a fisherman, and he was a hard worker, but fishermen are not known as being great leaders. But Simon Peter had something to offer, something that Jesus found compelling. And Simon would, of course, become the rock upon which Jesus would build his church. God can work with people like Peter. God can work with people like us. And I hope you believe that. Because that's not just a line, but that is a truth that I want you all to take hook, line, and sinker. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, thank you for calling us just as you called Simon Peter. Help us to be good disciples. Help us to be faithful servants who want to build your kingdom with all the gifts that we have received.